So just remember her in prayer, going through those airports and things. Appreciate it. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We're asking God for your guidance through the scriptures this morning, dear God, and that you would give us, Lord God, the anointing, dear God, to be able to bring what you've laid on our heart, dear God, to be a help to the people. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I want to turn to again to the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, and read starting from verse 10. And we want to continue on with our subject of cause the weary to rest. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. With stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, "This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing." Yet they would not hear, but the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Amen. You may be seated. When Noah was in the ark and he was trying to see if there was any land, if the storm was over, he sent a crow out. And he sent out a dove. And the dove came back. And because the dove couldn't find a place to rest its feet, because it wouldn't land on anything dead. And the only thing there was out there was floating dead carcasses. And there's something about the nature of the dove. It couldn't light on any of that because it's against its nature. But then he sent a crow out. And the crow didn't come back because it could light on anything dead. It could feed off dead things. But the dove doesn't have a gall to feed off things like that. And he sent the dove out again. And when the dove came back carrying a branch, well, then he knew there was dry land somewhere. And the storm was over. But the dove, it doesn't have a gall to digest things like that. Brother Branham says this also. This is in the mess of lamb and dove where I'm talking about these things from. But Brother Branham says, he's talking about a backslider and about it being the most miserable person in the world. He said, but a real born-again Christian, sometimes they might get angry at something done in the church. Oh, now that don't happen. Sometimes they might get angry at something done in the church, and it'll poison their system. But if he's a real dove, he'll come back. Just as sure as God's in heaven, he'll do it because there's something in him that won't let him light on them old dead carcasses. What old dead carcass is he talking about? That angry over something that went on in the church. The dead carcass wasn't what went on in the church. The dead carcass was the attitude the person took toward what went on in the church. And he said, to any born again a Christian, they can't stand it because they got no goal to digest such a thing. Amen. It doesn't make you, you know, where the devil can't bother you. This what happened to this fellow Brother Branham's talking about. The devil bothered him. He got next to him over something that happened. You know, friends, look, all of us are made up a certain way. We've got certain personalities. And we've got our little quirks. And there are things that can get you excited. If somebody was to talk about certain things, well, I could get you going. Yep. Mention food stamps to some people, and boy, they get going about all the taxes dollars that they're spending, and these people out here living off for free, you know. And I'm not criticizing. What I'm saying is there are things, little quirks that we have. And somebody can say something, and that'll get you going. Somebody can say something in a certain way, and maybe it wasn't anything like what I just gave example of. Maybe just something else that nothing's wrong with, but it's just one of your pet peeves. Because we all got them, because we're flesh. You might as well say amen, because I ain't going to get off this until you do. We all have these little pet peeves and different things like that. And so there's some things that the devil knows all this. Because he knows you. Brother Branham said he studies you. And he knows the little things that'll get next to you. And so he'll amplify them to you. But if you've got the real nature of a dove, Brother Branham said, you'll come back around. Because you can't live off of that dead stuff. You can't feed off of that dead stuff. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Brother Branham says here in Mary's belief, he says, come, sinner friend, this is a place to find rest. If you're weary and tired of life's troubles, ever been there? If you're weary and tired of life's troubles, if you're confused, we've all been there. If you're frustrated, come to Jesus. Backslider, you come now. Didn't Jesus say, come unto me? All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. It's a place to rest for your soul. Hallelujah. For my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Now, speaking of the backslider, Brother Branham, in the message of letting off pressure, he talks about an eagle. Now, he's talking about an eagle, a bird that, friends, he's the king of the air. There's no other bird like him. And Brother Branham likens those eagles to, he likens Christians to eagles. And he said, sometimes an eagle will get this crust that'll build up on his beak and around his eyes. And he talked about John the Baptist and said, you know, when John the Baptist sent messengers unto Jesus and said, ask him if he's him, or should we look for another? And Brother Branham said, John the Baptist had already testified that that was him. He had already saw the Spirit descending and ascending off of him. But he said he was an old eagle and his eyes got crusted over. And Brother Branham talked about them eagles getting that way that they couldn't see. And of course, if they can't see, why, how are they going to live? And he said they would get down to a rock. And they begin to beat their head on that rock until it actually drew blood. And their head got all bloody from beating off that old crust that had formed up. And Brother Branham said, that's what the backslider needs to do. Because there is a rock in a weary land where we can come to. And if you get that way, you can beat your head, Brother Branham said, against that rock. Yes, he said that. I know a rock a man can come to and can beat and beat until the doubt's all gone, until the worry and cares of the world's all gone. He can beat the crust of sin from around him until the blood has sanctified his soul. Then eternal life is sure to come. Then he can sit back and let off the pressure. Because why? He's beat all that old crust off. Hallelujah. If the crust has begun to blind your eyes and the cares of the world, or you just can't swallow all the food of God, let's come to that rock in a weary land. Let's come there and beat upon the altar until the crust is broke and our eyes can see clearly. Jesus again, and the cares of this world has passed away. Then the pressure will go off. He's a rock in a weary land, a shelter in a time of storm, a refuge, a haven of rest for the weary. Let's come to that place. Hallelujah. What causes it sometimes when a good born-again Christian, good born-again Christian. And sometimes, friends, look, if you're not going forward, if you're standing still, you're backslid. Because everybody else is marching forward. We're travelers, as the song he was singing said. We're on a journey. We're not staying here. But sometimes we get weary. We get tired from it. We get tired spiritually. And you know what? It affects us physically. Worry and things, friends, can affect you physically. It can cause you physical sickness. It can cause you to lose sleep. Then you'll get weary physically. Some people worry and worry so much to where they try to lay their head down on the pillow at night and they can't find a way to go to sleep. It's like they can't turn their brain off. But that's what Jesus is for. Amen. You've got to cast your cares on him. Look, we've all been there. I've been there. You think I don't got cares? I've got cares. Believe me, you wouldn't want them. But you know what I've learned? Instead of laying my head on the pillow and worrying about why somebody won't straighten up, I got to turn it over to Jesus. Because if he can't get him to straighten up, I know I can't. So I got to, and how do you turn it over to Jesus? It ain't just saying, well, you know what? I'm just going to forget about that. That ain't how you do it. You pray. That's how you commit the things to God. You pray to him about them. Look, friends, people get on the phone and tell everybody else how they feel. Get on your knees and tell Jesus how you feel. Just be honest with him. You'll find you'll let off the pressure. You'll find a place to rest. You'll find a way to go to sleep. Some people can't go to sleep if there's a least little bit of a light on. Me, I like to have some light. Because I get up during the night. And when I got my glasses took off, I can't see really that great. And so I don't want to trip over things. The other night I got up, well, it was early in the morning. I got up and it was before daylight. And I didn't want to wake my wife up. And so I thought, well, I won't turn no lights on or nothing in the bedroom. And I'll walk out and I walked into the kitchen. And it was still dark. My eyes couldn't adjust, and I couldn't see. And so I thought, well, I'll walk over to the door, and I'll turn the light on over there. It's far away in that part of the kitchen. It's over by the table. It's far away from the bedroom door. And this way it won't shine into the bedroom and wake her up. And so I walked over there, and Brother Phil, I planted my nose flat up against that door, looking for that switch. Walked right into the door. I couldn't see, but I could feel. I found the switch and turned it on and said, there's the door. I already found it. Some people can't go to sleep with the least bit of noise. Noise don't bother me. Noise don't wake me. I get used to certain noises and I just sleep on through it. It can be storming outside. Will not disturb me one bit. But I also put some music on. And music. I've learned to sleep with music on. See, how did you learn those things? I'll tell you. When I was in the Army and I first got sent over to Germany, why, they put me in a room with this other boy. And this boy went to sleep at night with hard rock and roll on. And Brother Phil, the first night I thought, I am never going to get any sleep in this room. And I learned to just tone that out and be able to go to sleep anyway. And it got me to a place where I had to have some noise on to go to sleep. Some people have got to have a little bit of noise to go to sleep, a fan or something. You can find a way to rest. I'll tell you, there's been things happen to me where I'd lay my head down on the pillow at night and close my eyes and horrible things would go through my mind. Things I didn't want to think about, things I didn't want to remember, sights I didn't wish I'd have never saw. And I remember Brother Branham talking about having a cross hanging in his car, so if he had in there since that if a naked woman went walking down the road, you know, dressed indecent, that he could just turn his head and look at that cross. And I thought, if I could do that for him, it can help me go to sleep. Right. So I got me a little cross, and when that would and I had it hanging up in the bedroom. And when that would go to bother me like that, when I'd lay my head down, I'd just take that little cross and hold it in my hand. And I claimed the promise. It wasn't that little cross. It's just something that I was touching. But what it was claiming the promise. If it could do that for him, he turned his head away from it, this can turn my head away from these horrible images that's in my mind. And it works. You can lean on him. My whole point in saying all this is you can lean on him to get rest from your weary self. This is in the message, do you now believe? West Palm Beach, Florida. Brother Branham is in a prayer line. Somebody, a woman came up before him. And he said, now, believe now, don't doubt. And then he already started catching her. And he said, 80% of the people in here are suffering from the same thing you suffer from. Nervousness. And he said, you're weary and you're upset. He said, but with you, it's because of the time of life. You're going through menopause. He said, but you got a real weary feeling. And sometimes it seems like everything goes wrong. And then he said, there's times where you feel like you're losing your mind. He said, it's the devil telling you that, and that's a lie. You're not losing your mind. He said, but you can be well from this. You will be well from this. Because of your attitude toward God's gift. You think about that. Because of her attitude toward Brother Branham, he said, you're going to be well. Why? Because of her attitude toward the gift in Brother Branham's life showed her attitude toward God. Touch not mine anointed. And do my prophets no harm. And if you honor them, then God will honor you. Amen. Amen. These things are just coming to me fresh, so I hope you enjoy them. I've seen people know that were disrespectful toward God's minister. And they end up losing their mind and dying a horrible death. I got firsthand witness from that. And then Brother Branham speaks about there's going to be those that will come down to the white throne judgment. And they will receive eternal life because they were good to a member of the bride. So their attitude toward a member of the bride will cause them to receive eternal life at the white throne judgment. They won't be part of the bride. But they'll receive eternal life. That's how much your attitude toward God's servants can affect you in your life. Hallelujah. Bram said, how many people here are suffering from nervousness? Raise your hand. He said, come on, be honest. Now, why in the world do we have to say that? because there was nervous people out there that didn't raise their hands. Why wouldn't they raise their hand? He said, how many's in here nervous? Raise your hand. Come on, be honest, he said. He said, you can be healed just as much as this woman standing right here before me was. Hallelujah. Why? If they would just believe what he said right then. Hallelujah. And the faith that was once delivered to the saints, there's somebody comes up before Brother Branham in a prayer line. And Brother Branham begins talking to him. And he says, I'm talking to you the way Jesus talked to the woman at the well to catch your spirit. He said, now, we're standing here and I don't know you, but he knows you. And he said, he can tell me what you want from him. And he said, now, surely you can believe if he knows what's in your heart, surely you'd get it. That's right. I won't speak of your eyes, see, because that's something visible can be seen. But now you're nervous, upset, because you're real weary about something. You're upset about I see a man. It's some kind of stiffening in the muscles. It's a father-in-law or something on the order, someone close to you, that's right. Some kind of stiffening of the muscles. It's a relative, your father-in-law. And there's someone else I see, a bed patient, it's a bad case, and the doctor says it's cancerous. And there's some kind of like lumps. It's Hodgkin's. And here's the woman over here. You're the daughter. Go lay your hand on her and take her home. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, let thy mercies rest upon her request in Jesus' name. So here this woman comes up before him. And she's just weary from what? Worrying over her father-in-law, worrying over her mother. And she's so weary, it's getting her down. It's making her feel sick. Brother Ram said, you're not weary over yourself, you're weary over somebody else. Ever been there? You can get weary. Because you've got loved ones, maybe children. They're out in the world. And you'll get weary in your spirit because of it. It's like Brother Branham was asking questions and answers, asking about this man was asking him about praying for his wife and his children. And Brother Branham said, pray for him. He said, if they belong to God, they'll come. If they're not, I know this is hard on folks. And I know before in my life, people could try to point their finger at me and say, you don't know what it's like. Well, you can't point your finger at me no more. I do know what it's like. He said, if they're not of God, they're not worth you worrying over. Woo, that's hard. He said, because if you worry over them, it's just going to get you down physically sick, and that's the devil doing that. You've got to be able to turn them over to God. You can't save them. I can't save them. You can't turn them around. Oh, how we'd like to. How we'd like to say something. But there ain't nothing you can say. There's nothing you can do, but there's something he can do. And you can rest from that weariness. Hallelujah. Friends, I know it's not easy. Believe me, I know firsthand. And you thank God for your children that are serving the Lord. You thank God for your children that have dedicated their life to serving God. And you know, sometimes with some folks, them's the ones the devil tried to get you mad at. And sometimes you get mad at the ones that ain't serving God simply because they ain't serving God. And getting mad at them ain't going to help them either. So you might as well not be mad at nobody. Hallelujah. Look, friends, I got a son out in Utah, and if he ever hears this, I figure he'll have an opinion about it. But I got a son out in Utah, and he ain't serving the Lord. He's turned his back on this message. And you don't think that ever plays on my mind? Sure it does. Comes across my mind. If he continues on the path he's on, I will not be spending eternity with him. But I love him. And I try to show him love. Because, friends, love is a powerful thing. You remember Brother Branham talking to this man that the man said he would go home and try to force his wife to get right. He would try to force her to live right. He would try to force her. Brother Branham said, "You're going about it all wrong." He said, what you need to do is show her love. Look, what good is it going to do you to tell them how you feel? They already know what you think. You might not realize it, but they, if they're not following this message, if they're not serving God, and you are, they already know what you think about it. So it ain't going to do you no good to tell them. But what you can do is display love. And I don't mean cuddle up to their sin, but I mean show them love. Amen. Ain't none of this in my notes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Brother Branham speaks here in this message of children of Israel. He's praying, says, let's bow our heads just a moment. And then he begins to pray. And he says, our Heavenly Father, this day standing here, I'm tired before this group of people. And I'm weary. And my limbs are aching and hurting. And pushing and pulling, oh Christ, someday let thy servant depart in peace so we can cross over the river. I trust you'll give me rest at the other side. Hallelujah. It causes you to get tired physically. Do you realize that what you do for the Lord can cause you to get, look, friends, Brother Branham talked about in his early ministry, he would stand up there under the anointing, and he would be praying for people and praying for people and praying for people until all of his strength was gone. Then he'd be laid up for days. And he promised the Lord he wouldn't do that no more. Now you think about it. How could he have been doing something wrong? But the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing. Well, laid up for days, he wasn't good to nobody. You can get tired physically from being tired spiritually. And I'll tell you something, friends. Look, you young ones in here, I'm not against you, but you just don't know yet. As you get older, some of the things you're able to do when you're young, you ain't not going to be able to do no more. And sometimes that's a hard lesson for you to learn. Where you used to be able to just stay up all night and just go, go, go. You get a little older, 6 o'clock starts getting late. Boy, it's going to be 6 o'clock. Sun's went down. I'm thinking about going to bed. What in the world I need to stay up for? It's dark. Me and my wife, we've done got old. We go to bed when it turns dark, and we're up before sun up. There's times I'm sitting at the table eating breakfast and the sun ain't even thought about coming up yet. Five o'clock rolls around and I'm thinking about eating my evening snack because I've done already ate dinner a long time ago. When you're young, you can... Boy, I tell you, the things I could do when I was young. What you wouldn't give to be young, but still have all the knowledge that it took you all these years to get. But there's things when you get older, friends, where drama. Oh, my goodness. I've never really been somebody who liked drama. But the older I've got, the less I can stand it. I'll just walk away from it. I don't want no part of it. Weariness. You know why Brother Branham said we get weary? Physically. Because of the fall. That's what he said. It's in the message of, at thy word, Lord, I'll let down the net. Preaching 1954. He said, it's the head of sin. Of it, the head of its sin. All this weary sickness and attributes, even death itself, is all wrapped up because of sin. Man didn't have to die. He didn't have to be sick. He didn't have to get weary, didn't have to shift for himself. Everything come after the fall. It was after the fall where God spoke to Adam and said, you're going to work by the sweat of your brow. You're going to work and labor. And thistles and thorns are going to come up and try to choke out your work. and you're going to work and labor to get them back so you can grow some food. Before, that man didn't have to do that. Before that, it was real simple. You can eat of all the fruit, the trees of the garden, except that one. It was just so easy. And then, you know, they just had to try that tree. Humans, like kids, are like that. They don't want to touch it until you tell them don't touch it. Then after you tell them don't bother this, they can't stand it. I got to now. There was a man in the Bible by the name of Elisha. And Elisha traveled. And Elisha would get weary. And he would get tired. And there was a woman that saw how tired this prophet would get from his travels, his journeys. And so she said to her husband, how about us just build on a roof and put a bed in it, so when he passes by this way, he can turn in and lay his head down on this bed and rest himself. And so the husband built the roof. And they told the prophet, you can turn in here and rest in here. Brother Branham said that made him feel good because he realized he was loved. And he said, everybody wants to feel loved. And so as he would travel by there and get there, he would turn into their house and they would feed him something, and then he would go lay down and he would rest his tired body. And then he said, you know, for what you've done for me, God has said whatever that you want, he's going to give you. And she said, I want a child. And so he laid hands on him. And now this is in a message of Brother Branham preached in 1955, Phoenix, Arizona. He laid hands on him. And he asked God to give him the request. And so they had a son born. And then there come a time the son was old enough and he was out in the field with his father. And all of a sudden, he took sick, and he fainted. And the father picked him up and took him in the house. Brother Branham said he suffered a heat stroke. And the father carried him to the mother and laid him there on her lap. And they waited, and the child died. And so she knew what to do. She took that little boy and she took him in that room they had made for the prophet, and she laid him on the bed they had made for the prophet. And then she told her servant, you saddle me up a mule. I'm going on a journey. And so she goes down to find Elisha. And Gehazi sees her coming, and he goes in and tells Elisha, behold, that woman, you know, that made that room for you, and you prayed and God to give her son and so on, said, she's approaching. And so he said, go find out what she wants. Find out how everything is with her and her family. And so Gehazi goes out there. Now, friends, look, she had traveled. She was tired. And she was human. And the worry of a dead son laid at home was on her. It don't matter how much faith you got, you still got to contend with this flesh. But when Gehazi asked her, she said, all is well. Now how could she say that? Because her faith, friends, her flesh wanted to scream out and say, my son is dead. But her faith said, all is well. Why? Because she had went on this journey to make it to the prophet to ask him to come raise her baby up. And she had confidence because her attitude toward God's gift had actually been what had gave her the son to begin with. And she still had the right attitude toward God's gift in this prophet. All is well. Then he inquires more. And she tells him, my son has died. And now the prophet hadn't even come out to see her yet. He gives his staff to Gehazi and says, go out there and go with her and go lay my staff on that boy. She said, no. Her confidence wasn't in that staff. She said, I need him to come, the man of God. And so Elisha gets up. And he goes on the journey with her back to her home. And when he gets there, he goes into the room. Brother Branham said there was people wailing and mourning, and said he kicked them all out just like Jesus did. And when he got all the unbelief out, Brother Branham said Elisha began to pace the floor with a boy laying there on the bed. And he paced the floor and he was praying. And Brother Branham said he waited until the Spirit of the Lord came on him. And when the Spirit of the Lord came on him, then he went over there and laid himself prone on top of that boy. And laid his mouth on top of the boy's mouth. Laid his hands on top of the boy's hands. And he said, and the breath of life came back in the boy. And he delivered him out to her. To his mother. Because of her attitude. Because she cared enough to make a place for the man of God to get some physical rest. Something that wasn't eternal. Something that, your friends, look, he could get rest today and be weary tomorrow. He could get rest today and be tired the next day. So it was something temporal, something that was temporary. But God saw that she cared for his servant. So God not only blessed her with the son, but he gave life back to him. It doesn't say how long he laid there on that bed, dead. Now, I can't remember what it is, but there's so long after a person doesn't have breath in them that the brain starts dying. But he was perfectly whole. Because of her attitude. Everybody wants to be loved. I tell you the truth, I do. I want God to love me. I want the people to love me. That's exactly the truth. If God loves me, then the people will love me. If I love his people, then he will love me for doing it. God would rather I love you than love him. Did you know that? I'd rather you love my boy back there no matter what you say about me. I want you to love my children. Any father would think that. So Father God thinks the same thing. He said, insomuch ye have done it to the least of these my little ones, you've done it unto me. So if you want to love God, just start loving all of his children. And God will reward you. If you love his children, it shows the love of God is in you. Hallelujah. In his life story. All right, I've got to. I don't really want to stop here. In his life story, he said, receive me, O Lord, for I'm sincere, and from this day hence I'll be your servant, and in the hour of my death, may Jesus Christ come down through the valley of the shadow of death and light up the way and bear my weary soul to a haven of rest. We get weary in our soul. Why? Because it's a long journey. You know, when you go on a trip somewhere, if you drive, after you drive for, and this gets worse the older you get, after you drive for a number of hours, you'll get out from your vehicle and you'll feel like stiffness has set in. And you'll feel like you can't hardly walk. You was walking fine when you got in the truck. But after riding for a few hours, you get out at the first rest area and you feel like, man, it's hard putting one foot in front of the other. Children don't feel this. Children are full of energy. Children get hurt, and in a matter of minutes, they're good to go again. You do something that you used to do and pull a muscle, and you're out of it for a week. But you get tired from your journey. This past Wednesday, my wife had a meeting over in Nashville, and I thought, well, I'll drive her over there. And it was raining. You know, it rained all week long. And it was raining, and I was driving on 40 going to Nashville. I drove over there and then had to get on 440 and then had to get out and get in Nashville and drive through the traffic there, you know, and in the rain. And then, you know, not everybody knows how to drive in the rain. There's more accidents because of the rain. I can't hardly figure it out. If there was ice on the ground or snow, I could understand. But it just amazes me the amount of people that don't know how to drive in the rain. But you get weary from driving in the rain. Because, you know, I got back to the house later that day, and I took my shower, and I sat down at the table, And I sat there and my shoulders were aching so bad from the tension of driving in those conditions. We suffer tension from our travels in this dreary land that we're traveling through. There's tension, there's stress, there's worry. Oh, but there's relief. I went to bed. An early morning come and I said, I ain't ready to get up yet. And I slept and I slept. I don't even know how many hours I slept. I slept and slept and slept. And when I woke up, my father-in-law always texts me about 6 o'clock in the morning. Every morning he texts me. And when I got up, I don't know how long it had been after he had texted me. And I texted him back and said, I was so tired from driving in the rain yesterday to Nashville and back. I said, I slept in this morning. Because usually I'm already up and have walked and ate breakfast before he ever texts. But there's coming a time when we're going to get rest from it. The toils of this journey of life that we're going through, we're going to get rest in a better land. Amen. And friends, you're not going to need somebody to come up behind you and massage the tension out of your shoulders, because there ain't going to be none. Because this old body that feels that stuff, you're trading it in. Amen. My mom has this saying, she sees a car that looks like it's seen better days. She said, they need to jack that one up and run a new one under it. That's what I feel like this old body. I need to jack it up and run a new one under it, don't you? I want to trade this old body in. It ain't no count. Oh my goodness. You take it. I've took a car to be traded in before and then look at the mileage on it and say, we don't want it. But this trade is assured. You're going to be able to trade in this old body. And the older it gets and the more mileage it gets on it, the less it's worth. It might start out, remember when Brother Bram said, worth 84 cents? It might have started out that way, but it ain't worth that now. But we're going to trade it in. Hallelujah. Brother Ram says our armor's pretty well beaten up from the battle. You feeling that way? Whew. How much longer? Oh, I've got so much more I want to say. Let me just close with this. This is in God Keeps His Word. So it brings joy to the heart of the waiter that's waiting on the coming of the Lord. The blessed hour that when these old vile bodies shall be changed and made like unto his own glorious body. And we shall see him, no more struggle, no more sorrow, no more old age, no more infinite days, no more hunger, no more weary, no more sickness, no more death. Oh, we just can't fathom it. I'm telling you, friends, it's hard because we're human. And death is such a thing, we all hate to face it. But it's a blessed relief. It's a blessed thing to know he'll come someday and these things will be changed. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you this morning, Lord, for the word of the Lord. Your word is good. Lord, we thank you this morning, Lord, for what you've come and spoke to us. Lord, how that it's touched us, each and every one. How, Lord God, that it's, Lord, it's brought an eternal touch on our souls. Lord Jesus, Lord, you know the worries of the people. You know what each one in here this morning, what they've been facing, what they've been going through. Lord, I pray now as they cast those cares on you, Lord, that you'll give them rest from their weariness that's on their souls, Lord. Lord, their loved ones that are not saved, I pray, Lord God, that you'll speak to them. And I pray, dear God, these folks here, Lord, that they'll find their place of rest from the worry of all that. To lay that on Jesus' shoulders. Lord, our yokes of life are not easy. But you said to cast all of our yokes on you, our cares. And take your yoke upon us, for it's easy and it's light. We'll lighten our load. Bless your people now, Lord, this morning. I ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord.